to the first annual Beskies Award Show. Please welcome your hosts, Alex Maxwell and Mac Lacey.
Wow, what a reception.
Oh, man, wow. Just the crowd tonight. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
Oh,
I can't
man,
believe
it's crazy.
It.
Alex, it's the first annual Beskies. We made it.
It's incredible. I am so happy to be here. We are so excited that you're joining us on the Beskies, which is the first annual award show where we are giving out awards based on season 2 of The Mandalorian. And we hope to make this a tradition going forward. And I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
We, like Alex said, we're counting down the best moments from the season 2 of The Mandalorian. Yeah, so normally, you know, we're The Mandalorian Watch. Normally we do in-depth scene-by-scene breakdowns of every chapter of The Mandalorian. We do tons of voicemail shows. We do, you know, interviews. We do it all. News, updates, all that. We've got a great Patreon community, so check us out if you're new, if you're just tuning in for this. If you've been with us, if you're a patron who got to vote on the winners for tonight's Beskie Awards, thank you all so much for your support. Yeah. And you know, continuing to be a part of our community. I think it's really cool. We're seeing what the people felt. You know, we're getting the voice of the people tonight.
That's right.
And those people are our patrons, and they're the best.
Absolutely. So here are the categories for tonight. Best VFX moment, best production design, best musical moment, one of my personal favorites, best babysitter.
Highly contested category, actually.
Very. Best Grogu moment, best costume design, best scene, best performance, best episode, and then finally, best director. So I'm excited to see who won tonight in the Beskies, voted by our patrons. Let's not waste any time. Let's jump into the awards.
Definitely. Grab a seat. Grab your favorite beverage. If you're in the car driving, listening to us on the podcast feed, make sure that beverage is non-alcoholic. Without further ado, our first award. All right, so the first award of the night, Best VFX Moment. And so in this category, nominated, we have the Crate Dragon from Chapter 9, the Marshal, everybody's favorite desert-dwelling
monster.
We've got Spider's Attack from Chapter 10, the Passenger. You know, very, very scary alien creepy vibes for sure. We've got the Razor Crest versus TIE Fighters. Some of the coolest dogfighting I've seen in a long time, for sure. Chapter 12, The Siege. And then we've got Luke Skywalker Revealed. So, you know, that
CGI
is certainly one of the more memorable moments of CGI from this season, for sure. You know, whatever you thought. So, so those are the nominees.
Let's see who won.
And the winner is the Crate Dragon.
Wow. I mean, I think we all saw this one coming, right?
Yeah. It took us all back to our first playthrough of KOTOR. and also, I think it really set the stage for, like, the big sensational nature that this season had.
Yeah.
Like kind of the larger-than-life tone that this season had. We started it. First episode of the season right off with that Crate Dragon. I think it definitely set the tone.
And what was just so amazing, I think, about that whole sequence in Chapter 9 is just how movie-like the quality of the CGI was. You know, like at no moment did I think, this kind of feels like a TV show. I felt like I was getting to watch a movie at home. And so that's what kind of makes that whole scene and sequence really stand apart from all of it, from the when the Crate Dragon first appears in Mos Pelgo, but also in its cave and as they're fighting it. And then obviously that memorable moment when it comes shooting out the mountain and Din Djarin and Cobb Vanth go flying off to attack it. That was just, I mean, just the whole sequence is just really, really incredible. So I think the patrons got this one right for sure. This one wasn't even really
not
close.
There's right or wrong answers or anything.
Well, yeah.
And also, like, let's not forget about that weird aspect ratio change.
Yes.
Like, in that scene. Do you remember that? So, yeah, they kind of were messing around a little bit there. So that's cool to see kind of some experimentation. Yeah, for sure. I think that category, super solid, pretty universally agreed upon.
Yeah.
A moment. So
it was awesome.
All right.
So good.
So everyone, let's do one more round of applause for the Krayt Dragon.
We give it up for you, Krayt Dragon. All right, let's just jump right into our next award, the very second award for the Beskies tonight. And this category is Best Production Design. So this is pretty exciting. This is actually kind of right up your alley, Mac, in terms of the things that you enjoy about movies and stuff like that. This is really exciting. So all the nominees were literally every single chapter of season 2 of The Mandalorian, chapters 9 through 16, were nominees. So, without any further ado, let's see who won Best Production Design. And the winner is Chapter 13, The Jedi. Way to go, Dave Filoni. Good job on your third directorial debut.
Yeah, I should have looked up the art director for that, but for that episode. But yeah, so I thought that was a great choice by the patrons. I think you can definitely see a very unified aesthetic to that whole episode.
Yes,
it feels very cohesive, like with itself. Like all the elements check out, right?
Absolutely.
And just aesthetically, from a lot, like a lot of open space in that courtyard, like where the kind of the big fight happens, and you know, just all the silence and the space that the sets, you know, the set pieces gave at least the illusion of, like, yeah, I think all of it really works. So.
And I feel like when thinking back on season 2 of The Mandalorian, chapter 13 stands out in terms of imagery probably the most, just because, like, you've got, like you said, those scenes of the, like, the devastated forest, right? Like, you see the devastated forest of the planet, and then you see the city, the walled city. That is such a cool, it's got a very samurai Kurosawa vibe to it. And then, like you said, the courtyard is like its own little thing too. So just, like, overall, the imagery of that episode, I think, just, it's so movie-like, right? Like, yeah. In a different way than, like, the Krayt Dragon was so movie-like. This felt like, yeah, this felt like a real place. This felt like this was actually, like, we were seeing this planet and we were seeing everything that actually took place on it. And that's what I mean, it was just so good. And this, I mean, the patrons overwhelmingly voted for Chapter 13, The Jedi, in terms of Best Production Design. So congratulations, Dave Filoni and crew, for the Best Production Design for Chapter 13 of The Mandalorian. So it was so good. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. And also, like, they took that weird gong thing.
Yes.
And so shout out for taking an idea that's familiar but making it foreign and in a galaxy far away, you know? So, yeah, production design, great all around.
Absolutely.
All right. So we ready to move on to the next award?
I think so. Let's move on.
Yeah, so the third award is going to be the best musical moment. And you know that music is very important to Alex and I. We always, you know, notice it, and it's a big part of our viewing experience for anything we watch, really. And the nominees are The Marshall's Tale. And I'm not going to be able to pronounce this one, probably, but Ship Ahoy?
Yeah.
But spelled different?
It's like Chips Ahoy. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ship Ahoy, Mandalorians, with an exclamation point. Quite a Soldier. And then Ahsoka Lives, The Sword, Troopers, and A Friend.
Ooh. I get chills just thinking and about that.
And the winner is... A Friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so I love that the patrons picked this. Obviously, if you don't know where this song lies in terms of the series, this is when Luke Skywalker comes and saves the day, and he's carrying that green lightsaber right into those dark troopers, and it's amazing. So that's the musical moment from A Friend, and I love that they picked this. This one was a little tighter. Second place was Soka Lives, which I thought that one was really, really good too.
Yeah, I probably would have picked it over A Friend, but they're still really close in my mind too. A Friend had like, it stands out from the rest of the music in the season. It's very distinct.
Yes.
And it's kind of a whole different tone, and it needed to be, because that was, you know, to set that moment apart and everything. So, yeah. All in all, you know, that makes sense.
So, like, 3 for 3 for me. I voted in these as well, and this is the one that I voted for. And so I'm super excited that it won. So, Ludwig, come and take your Besky Award on the internet. We give it to you, and we hope that you accept.
If you want to accept it in person, let us know. We can, not, maybe not now, but when it's safe, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Like, all of these songs, like, all the nominees on this were so good. You can listen to him over and over again. The Marshall's Tale is just so fun when Cobb Vanth is retelling his story of how he got Boba Fett's armor. And of course, Ship Ahoy Mandalorians is that moment when Bo-Katan, Din, and the Night Owls take over the Imperial cruiser. And that's just a cool moment, right?
Yeah.
Because like we get kind of a new theme for Bo-Katan too. And so that's cool.
Yeah, or maybe it's like a new theme even for Mandalorians where we're at this point in time too, you know? Because like they kind of represent the Mandalorian mainstream, and it's kind of their theme as a group almost. So, yeah.
But. Yeah, absolutely. And then Quite a Soldier is from that moment when Cara Dune gets the New Republic medal, and she's talking to Carson Teva. And what's really cool about that musical moment is that there's some hints of the Resistance theme in that moment, right? And then it transitions into like Moff Gideon, and he's looking at the Dark Troopers for the very first time. So it's like that dichotomy of you've got the New Republic and you've got the remnants of the Empire going back and forth in that musical moment. I thought that was really cool. And then Ahsoka Lives, like we talked about. What's really cool is like it has this like nice, like almost like, I want to say Leprechaun type feel to the Mandalorian theme at the beginning of it. And then it transitions into Ahsoka's theme music, which is really cool.
That's Leprechaun is a fair, like a fair descriptor, I guess.
I don't know what else to call that. Like it sounds so odd and little almost, you know what I mean? Like very childlike, very innocent.
It's almost kind of like how Rey's theme was in The Force Awakens. Like it's playful in a subtle way, but it's knowing at the same time. Yeah. We could throw adjectives around all day, but.
And then, of course, the sword comes from that moment when Din beats Moff Gideon for the Darksaber. And then Troopers is like, that's like a rave party music.
Yeah.
Right?
Like so isn't that kind of dubstep-y? You know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very dubstep, which we've never really gotten before in Star Wars, but it slaps.
No,
it slaps.
It works.
And then A Friend, I mean, I've already said everything positive about that. I love that musical moment, and it gives me chills every single time I listen to it. So,
yeah. Cool.
Good job. Way to go. A Friend wins Best Musical Moment. So, are we ready for the next one, the fourth award of the night?
I think so.
So, let's get into it. This category, the fourth award for the Beskies, is Best Babysitter.
A very important role in this season, as we saw.
Literally, Din could not stop giving Grogu away this season.
Yeah.
He would give him to anybody.
Yeah. I mean, really, the most unrealistic thing about this, you know, franchise about space wizards and lasers and starships and everything is that babysitters were so easily found and available. Like, he never has an issue. He always has somebody to pawn the kid off on.
But let's be honest. If someone was going to bring you a real-life Grogu, you would take him. You'd take care of him for a moment. Yeah.
Yeah, I would drop everything I had going on and be like, all right, this is what I'm doing. Yeah, we're just going to take care of this kid.
Yeah. I mean, I would die for Grogu, and he's a puppet. So that's where I am in life. So... Let's get to it. The Best Babysitter Award for the Beskies. And the nominees are Peli Motto, Frog Lady, Protocol Droid Teacher, and then finally, Moff Gideon. So, surprising amount of votes for Moff Gideon, by the way.
Yeah, it was shocking.
And the winner is... Frog Lady. Congratulations, Frog Lady. You did it. Literally, like, let me look at how close this was. This was literally 4 votes off. I mean, it was between Frog Lady and Peli Motto, which is crazy.
to me, this is no contest, Frog Lady. Not only
is
Frog Lady putting the future of her species literally on her back, I also think, like, she's got a body count, right? Like, she's killed a man before. Like,
no doubt.
So, Frog Lady, no doubt, man. She can be entrusted with the future of an entire species. I think she can probably take care of one kid, you know?
Yeah, and she does. I mean, like, she, when that spider was on Grogu's head in Chapter 10, she had an expert. I mean, she shot that thing right off of his head.
Yeah.
Like, no hesitation
either.
Like,
she shot first, you know? Like,
bullseye.
Yeah.
No. Like you said, she has killed a man before.
Yes, yes. There are bodies.
big body count from Frog Lady. Yeah. So if I'm giving up Grogu to, like, someone else protect him, I agree with this. I agree with the patrons here. I'm giving him to Frog Lady. Yeah. Peli seems like she's got her hand in everything, right, on Tatooine. Like, she might be a little distracted.
Yeah, I definitely get that vibe. She also, like, I'm not unsure that she doesn't have some ulterior motives, you know? Like...
Yeah,
like, she
kind of
seems like
she's
maybe like trying to figure out how she can turn anything into a profit, you know? So I don't know. Kind of opportunistic vibes for me.
And honestly, I feel like the pit droids would probably end up taking care of Grogu
right
at the end of the day. You know, like when Peli kind of gets like, okay, you're cute, but I need to get things done. It's the pit droids who are taking care of Grogu. And do you really want those guys taking care of Grogu?
I don't want them taking care of my pod racer. So, yeah.
I mean, Grogu literally ate Frog Lady's eggs, and she still protected him.
Right.
That's saying something.
Yeah, that's dedication to caretaking, for sure. All right, well, everyone, give another hand for Frog Lady. To me, it wasn't even close. So,
not even close.
All right. Well, I think that's going to bring us to our first little intermission here. Would you like to take a break?
Let's take a break. All
right. Well, the Beskies will be right back after this brief message from our sponsor.
This episode of The Mandalorian Watch is sponsored by Vanth Refrigeration. I'm sure we have all been stuck on a desert planet surrounded by Tusken Raiders and constantly harassed by a Grey Dragon. At a time like that, you shouldn't have to worry if your meats... Spashka and other galactic food items are going bad or not. I cannot tell you how many times I've been defending my town from sand people, and I've thought, gee, I hope I can have a nice, cold spashka if I survive this. Thanks to Vanth Refrigeration Systems, I will never have to worry about that again. Banth Refrigeration has a new top-of-the-line refrigerator that promises to keep all your galactic food items cool, cold, or even frozen. As Cobb Vanth always says, every once in a while, both suns shine on a Womp Rat's tail. To learn more about Banth Refrigeration's incredible products, be sure to visit Banth Refrigeration HoloNet page and use the promo code WOMPRAT for 15% off any order. That's Banth Refrigeration's HoloNet page and use the promo code WOMPRAT for 15% off your first order. Now back to the episode.
Hey, everybody.
Wow.
All right, wow. Good to be back. And so good. We're ready to continue the Beskies. I hope you enjoyed that commercial. Go support them in any way you can to keep the lights on around here. But I think we're ready to keep rolling with the awards. How you feeling, Alex?
I'm feeling so good right now. You don't even know. how good I'm feeling.
Well, we've got our fifth award, which is Best Grogu Moment.
Let's go.
And I mean, come on. There were so many this season, right? There's so many. So we really had to narrow it down even for the nominees, right? But for this category, the nominees were Grogu in the speeder pouch, Grogu with clam chowder, Grogu stealing macarons with the Force. A lot of snack-based nominees here. Grogu eating macarons during a dogfight, putting his hands up like he's on a roller coaster. Super cute. And then Grogu hearing Din say his name. That was kind of the beginning of a big change in the show's dynamic, you know? And then Grogu seeing Din's face. I think,
yeah.
You know, there wasn't a dry eye in the house when that was happening.
No.
So, the winner of the Best Grogu Moment category is... Headphones. The drum roll.
You were winding up. For those listening,
Mac
was winding up and his whole headphone thing came off. All right, Mac. And the winner is...
Grogu hearing Din say his name.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by this one.
I was
a little surprised by this one. Yeah, so
I'm shocked. So what did you vote for?
So for me personally, just the macarons during the dogfight. There's just nothing better. It's just pure joy.
Yeah.
But then of the two that are sort of similar, they're the specifically interactions between Grogu and Din. You know, there's Grogu hearing Din say his name, the winner. But then there's Grogu seeing Din's face. And for me, I would have gone with face over name. But that's just me. Obviously, the patrons feel different.
That's what I voted for. I voted for Grogu seeing Din's face. But I totally get like that moment in Chapter 13, the Jedi, when... And it's in Chapter 14 as well, in the tragedy. But when Din is saying Grogu's name, especially for the first time, right, and he looks up and he actually responds. It is a powerful moment because, you know, like Grogu, he probably hasn't heard his name said in a long time. So he's heard it said by Ahsoka now, and now who he considers his father has said his name. He knows who he is now, and so that's a big moment. And like, I totally like. Again, I voted for Grogu seeing Din's face for the very first time, but I kind of get where the patrons might be coming from when they voted for this, because I don't think Grogu actually cares what his dad looks like, right? In a sense of like, the metal face is his face. It was really nice to see Din's face and like reach out and touch something real, something flesh. And of course I would say it's probably even a bigger moment for Din than it is for Grogu, right? Like, Din is revealing himself to Grogu And that's a big moment for Din.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I definitely get, like, hearing the name, it's almost, that was, once they named Grogu, that was honestly kind of the kiss of death, I think. That's, like, at that point, the writing was kind of on the wall for the separation that we're in now, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I definitely get it. Yeah, so let's all give another round of applause for Grogu hearing Din say his name.
Well deserved, well deserved. So let's go to our next award. Our sixth award of the night is Best Costume Design. And this is exciting because this is actually just season two specific, right? And this is not, we try to focus on costumes that we saw that were brand new in season two, or maybe we saw costumes in a different way than we normally do. So this is Best Costume Design. And so here are your nominees. Cobb Vanth, Frog Lady, Bo-Katan, Ahsoka, Boba Fett. And the winner is... Boba Fett.
Wow! Well done. Well done, Boba Fett. I mean, I get it. It was huge seeing the green armor again, you know?
Yeah.
When he put it back on for the first time, that was a huge moment, right? And we wouldn't have this show if Boba Fett didn't wear that armor in the first place, right? So, like...
Right.
It's kind of a big deal, you know?
This the voting on this for the patrons was super close. Like, there was three that were really in contention here for winning Best Costume Design. And so the first one, of course, Boba Fett, specifically that new paint job, right? Like, the way that he looks with the new paint, we've never seen Boba Fett with, like, a fresh coat of paint on.
Fresh, right.
That was cool. And, like, he's got that kind of black scarf around his neck. He's got those parachute pants on.
And he's still got the, like, the skirt type thing that's kind of, like, you know, waving around him. Yeah, it's cool. It's a way that is instantly recognizable and makes everybody super nostalgic, right? But then it's also something new, something fresh. So, yeah, it was really cool the way that, you know, they shook it up.
Yeah, and then... Yeah.
What would your pick have been? Would that have been your pick, or?
Well, my pick was Bo-Katan. I was just very impressed with how they brought the animated character to life. My vote was either going to go to Bo-Katan or Ahsoka, but I chose Bo-Katan over Ahsoka just for that. You know, like, Ahsoka was going to be hard to translate into live action no matter what they did, and I think they did the best job that they could. But I think they nailed Bo-Katan, so that's where my vote went.
Yeah. Yeah, I am going with Ahsoka, just personally. I think that, like, it was a huge challenge to try to bring that to live action. And then the way that they pulled it off, I thought was, you know, like, yeah, you can see the seams a little bit, right? But I could very easily suspend my disbelief and just the way that... You know, like, her actual costume, too. Not even talking about the makeup and prosthetics and stuff. The costume is awesome.
The details are so good.
Yeah. And it's so Ahsoka, too. They nailed, like... This is, like, what the fully realized version of Ahsoka would wear. Like, yeah.
It was cool. So. I mean, like I said, my vote was either going to her or Bo-Katan. I ended up going with Bo-Katan just because I feel like, again, like... A lot of female Mandalorians have that different T-shaped visor, and that was really cool to see in live. That was really cool to see in live action, and just the paint scheme was very consistent. And of course, we knew that it would be because of Dave Filoni's involvement in this. But it was just so cool to see something. And because she was first, probably too, she was before Ahsoka in terms of the episodes happening. It was really cool to see a Clone Wars and Rebels animated character literally come to life, portrayed by the same person, which is, I mean, that is just right. Really, really cool. So that's where my vote went. And then honorable mentions, Cobb Vanth, that look of Boba Fett with the very scarred armor and then that red kind of motif that he has with it, that again, we've not seen Boba Fett's armor kind of in that light before on somebody else.
Right.
So that was really cool. And then Frog Lady, even though she was technically in season one in the cantina scene, she gets a bigger role in this. So it was really cool how they pulled that off, and the actress Misty Rosas portrayed her in that suit. So that was cool.
Yeah, for sure. All right. On to our seventh award. We have Best Scene.
Oh, I'm so excited about this.
For Best Scene are the Crate Dragon Battle, Bo-Katan and the Night Owls Take Over Ship, Trexler Marauder Canyon Chase and Rescue. There's a lot of sounds.
There's a lot of C's.
Ahsoka versus Elsbeth. And then we have Boba Fett Returns. We have Mayfield confronts Valen Hess. We have Din defeats Gideon. And we have Luke Skywalker's Rescue. And the winner is... Mayfield confronts Valen Hess.
Wow.
Yeah, I was super surprised that this one won it. So this is my personal choice, but I thought that I was going to probably be in the minority. It really surprised me, but I agree, so.
Yeah, so I had a hard time voting for this one. Obviously, if you listen to the podcast, Luke Skywalker's Rescue, when he comes to the rescue and saves the day, I don't think I've ever had an experience watching television like that before, where there was like a physical reaction in me. Like I literally stood from my seat at 5 o'clock in the morning when this moment happened. But I had to, like, voting for this is it's best scene, not favorite scene. And so I had to right. like take in the context of the episode. I had to take in the context of the season, context of everything. And I ended up voting for Mayfield confronts Valen Hess as well. And so did most of our patrons. It was a pretty close vote. 32% voted for the winner, Mayfield confronts Valen Hess. And second place was actually Boba Fett Returns.
Yeah.
And then third place was Luke Skywalker's Rescue.
I just figured that just from the reaction that it got, I figured that was going to be the winner. Just because that seems to be the one that, like, the thing that blew everybody's mind the most, yeah. You know? But yeah, I mean, all of these are super great choices, right? There's not a single, you know, bond or dud on this list, so.
No.
But yeah, I mean, that scene, first of all, it'll possibly tie into a future award here. But like the performances in that scene are just all around stellar. The emotional and like philosophical weight of this season, like, it fully rests on that scene's shoulders almost, I think. So, I mean, just all around, super tightly constructed. The most memorable thing I've seen on any kind of screen in a long time.
What I think one of the reasons this, I think, award won for best scene is we haven't seen a scene like this before in Star Wars. Not really, not like this. In the sense of, you have this tension and this dread building, and you know exactly what's going to happen at the end of it, and you can't stop it. You can't stop it. And you're just sucked in, you're drawn in. And like, and the reason I say you haven't seen something like this before in Star Wars is this, like, I'm sure you could bring up several different things that maybe you could compare this scene to. But to me, it's like, this felt like a Game of Thrones moment. Like something that you would see on that television show where it's literally the action is actually in the dialogue. And so that's what was really, really cool about that scene.
Yeah, for sure. And just such good character work and like I said, performances all around.
Yeah.
Amazing. I hope the entire Andor series is like this scene.
Me
like,
too.
I just want a whole show of that in Andor.
Yeah.
I think that's the place to do it. So
that'd be cool.
Cool, cool.
Yeah. Well,
let's all give another round of applause. Mayfeld confronts Venice.
Let's do our eighth award.
All right. Sounds good.
Let's get into it. So this is for best performance. And we actually combined the categories of best actor and best actress. So this is just overall best performance. And our nominees are Pedro Pascal, Misty Rosas, Katie Sackhoff, Gina Carino, Carl Weathers, Timothy Oliphant, Rosario Dawson, Tamara Morrison, Ming-Na Wen, Bill Burr, and Giancarlo Esposito. Sorry. Sorry, Mr. Esposito. I apologize. This is my John Travolta moment when I'm... I can't say Idina Menzel. Yeah, that's okay.
Fair enough.
Okay, so let's get into it. And the winner of best performance is Bill Burr.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm both surprised and not at all surprised by that.
This one was another close one for our patrons. This one was like on the razor's edge. If we just had a couple more votes, it would have swung another way.
Right. I think it really comes down to the surprise factor. Just the fact that was unexpected for us to get that kind of performance from him, you know?
Yeah.
Just because we hadn't really seen it before. So I think that definitely goes a long way. But man, he killed it. Like,
he did.
Like, he did great, and there's not a bad performance on this list. I don't think like Rosario Dawson would be my kind of runner up. Probably, I think she had one of the hardest jobs in front of her, right?
Yeah.
And then really rose to that challenge, right? But yeah, just for the surprise factor and the fact that it kind of coincides with some of my favorite scenes and stuff like that, I'd go with Bill Burr too. But.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, not just because of his performance in the best scene, which just won previously to this, right? Like, but his performance throughout the entire episode was just fantastic. And, a lot of credit to Bill Burr, a lot of credit to Rick Famuyiwa, who directed and wrote that episode too, of really taking a character that nobody really liked that much in last season and like making him have a great character arc and all of us all of a sudden care about Mayfeld, which is like really a great job all around. And Bill Burr brought that performance to life. I voted for that one for sure. My second one probably would have been, which was the runner up here, Pedro Pascal. He obviously, like last season, we don't think that he was actually in the suit a lot. And I think if you go back and watch season one and you compare it to season two, you can tell that there's a difference in even the performance of the Mandalorian, the character, right? So like if you're seeing in season one, he even kind of looks taller, maybe a little lankier, right? In season two, Pedro Pascal is a little more stockier, and you can tell in his movements and stuff, that is Pedro a lot more in the suit for season two. And so, like, I just wanted to kind of vote for him, not just because of his performance, but like, he had to think through, how am I going to voice this? Because I'm going to have to voice this a little bit different when I go back and, you know, do the recordings and stuff. And he's got to match what he did under the suit and stuff. So, I thought he did a really great job this season. But man, Bill Burr though, what a great performance by him in chapter 15.
Yeah. I mean, I hope we get a lot more from him too. Like, we know he's got the chops now, so.
Yeah.
I hope he shows back up in Star Wars too. I want more of Mayfeld, not even just like Bill Burr's performing. So. Yeah. Well, I guess that's going to bring us to the last award. We got two more.
We got two more awards. They're kind of connected.
I can't read and talk at the same time.
They're kind of connected.
Yeah. We got the ninth award of the night, the penultimate award, which will be Best Episode. And all chapters are the nominees. All of them are available. I mean, of course we had to do this category, and there's so many, the episodes are so different from each other in this season too. Like, it's hard to like narrow it down to an overall thing. There's like, oh yeah, I like this episode for this thing and this episode for that thing, but you know, one does have to be the winner. There's only one Besky that can be given out. So
that's right.
I think let's do a drum roll and we'll announce the winner. And the winner is The Believer.
So, wow.
So, you know, continuing kind of the theme of the last couple awards here.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this one was super close too. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. This episode is cleaning up so far.
It really is. And that's kind of shocking to me. But like, it is and it's not. Right, like in the moment when season two first ended, I think a lot of people probably would have said chapter 16 is the best episode. But as time went on and people, our patrons voted, I think they kind of looked at the season and looked at, okay, they made that separation, not what's my favorite, but what is the best one. And clearly the patrons decided that chapter 15, The Believer, is the best episode. That's not the one I voted for, though, actually.
Oh, we got an upset. Okay, so that is my vote. My vote is definitely The Believer. What you got over there?
I voted for chapter 13, The Jedi.
Okay, fair enough.
And that one was second place. It was 33% to 30%. That's how close this vote was. It was so close. And the reason I voted for The Jedi is because it contained everything that I love about Star Wars pretty much in one episode of The Mandalorian. And so, like, like we talked about before, the production design was amazing. I think the acting in terms of it felt a little stiff from, you know, the hired gun character. I'm forgetting his name right now.
Michael Biehn's
gunslinger. Yeah, Michael Biehn's character.
Yeah.
Little stiff acting, but like, that's, to me, you know, that's part of the charm of Star Wars. That's kind of like, I like that a little bit. That makes it feel even more Star Wars to me. And then, you know,
it certainly comes with the territory.
Yeah. And then Ahsoka being in it in live action, seeing that lightsaber action, the white lightsabers, and just like, you could probably show chapter 13 to anybody without them knowing anything else about the Mandalorian, and it would still work. It truly is kind of like a standalone type episode. But I totally get why chapter 15 won, because like, for all the reasons we've said, it's an amazing episode.
Yeah. The Jedi would have been my runner up. So we're right there. We're pretty much on the same page. But like you said, for the reasons you said, you know, like, it's just a perfect little self-contained thing, I think. Like, even if you just watched that, it's its own story and got a full arc in there. So
yeah.
I mean, solid. But yeah, I mean, The Believer for me definitely takes the cake. So congratulations to The Believer. And that will now bring us to our final award.
So the 10th and final Besky Award for the night goes for Best Director. And here are the nominees. Jon Favreau, Chapter 9, The Marshal. Peyton Reed, Chapter 10, The Passenger. Bryce Dallas Howard, Chapter 11, The Heiress. Carl Weathers, Chapter 12, The Siege. Dave Filoni, Chapter 13, The Jedi. Robert Rodriguez, Chapter 14, The Tragedy. Rick Famuyiwa, Chapter 15, The Believer. And then finally, Peyton Reed once again for Chapter 16, The Rescue. And the winner is Rick Famuyiwa, Chapter 15, The Believer.
It's a Believer clean sweep, pretty much. Man, yeah. They really... Tell you what,
this
Rick
one,
and Bill
honestly,
cleaned up.
This one wasn't that close in terms of the patron votes. Rick Famuyiwa pretty much blew everybody else away. Second place was Dave Filoni, and then third place was Bryce Dallas Howard. And I think that's about right, to be honest with you.
I think that's good. Those would be my top three. I'd put Bryce Dallas Howard over Dave Filoni.
I think so too.
But those would be my top three. But I mean, like, The Believer, Rick did an amazing job at really getting into the nitty gritty of the character, and that's where directing becomes, you know, super important, is when you're really doing that acting work and, you know, making sure that, like, I mean, everybody, you could tell everybody knew exactly what their character wanted when they were saying any given thing, and just really, really tight overall. Great action and everything too. I mean, he can do. He's proven he's versed in, you know, pretty much any realm of film you want. So,
yeah, just, I mean, and again, the incredible character arc of Mayfield in that episode really sets that episode apart from all the others. And I think for much of the patrons too, because, like you said, it was pretty much a clean sweep for Chapter 15. You know, you got Bill Burr winning Best Performance, you got the Best Scene, you got Best Director, Best Episode. I mean, Chapter 15 cleaned up, and I think, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, if opinions change at all as time goes on, or if that just becomes even more cemented in terms of, yeah, that one was the best. And you know, just thinking about it overall in terms of that episode, since that did make a clean sweep. What was so cool about that episode is when they announced The Mandalorian and they announced Star Wars TV, this is what, that episode is basically what I pictured for a Star Wars television show.
Me too. Taking things down in scale slightly, like, just because that's kind of the nature of TV, which this show has not adhered to that.
No, yeah.
That principle.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, just making sure that you're taking the time to, because you're not necessarily doing the massive set pieces and everything, because I think probably The Believer is the most, like, scaled back in terms of spectacle, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
But, you know, you take the time to get into the other areas that maybe you can't focus on as much in the films when you're dealing with these huge, broad, you know, conflicts and arcs and everything. But taking just, like, getting into this little one-off character that we met one time last season, and then now we're getting him again, and he's had a whole emotional journey, you know? So I agree with you. And I hope that we're going to get a lot more of that too. Cause I love it. That's my meat and potatoes right there.
Like you said, in terms of Cassian Andor, I hope that Cassian Andor is a lot. It's just a lot of people talking in rooms and the action is in the dialogue. I think there's something really, really cool about that for television. I love very, like, tightly written scripts, and that one was a very tightly written script. I thought it was fantastic. But really, like, all the episodes this season were very special and unique in their own special way. The only one, now that I'm looking back, and I said this differently on the podcast when we talked about it, the one that does kind of stand out and not in a good way is chapter 10. It does actually kind of feel like, hey, we need to waste time. It does, like, yeah. I hate throwing out the word filler, but it does kind of feel that way in context of the entire season. But it got some, there's still some really good moments in that chapter.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, overall, great season. So we got just so much. And yeah, I'm just happy that we could take some time and, you know, recount the glory moments of seasons past.
So. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. So this is our first ever Beskies Award Show. Hopefully we will do more of these, and it won't just encompass The Mandalorian, because we've got other Star Wars television shows. So the competition might get a little tighter in the next Beskies Award Show.
We'll see what happens. you know, time will tell with production schedules and everything like that. But
yeah. But we thank you so much for joining us for the Beskies. If you're watching on YouTube or listening on your podcast, we want to thank you. And of course, we break down everything The Mandalorian. If you didn't, if like for whatever reason, this is your first time listening, you can go back and listen to everything as you rewatch it. And then of course, we have our Patreon account too, where you can get a lot of cool bonus episodes. And we will be starting our chapter 2 commentaries very soon, so that will be.
I was just thinking, it's fun. About to be commentary season. Yeah. I love commentary season.
It's so good.
It's the best.
It is. It's so much fun. Like it's just like we're a little looser on those. It's kind of silly fun, and it's really cool. And the community
sometimes it gets real deep and serious too. Yeah, though. Yeah. You never know.
Definitely. But I would say that the coolest thing about the Patreon is just the community that is a part of the podcast, and just people on the Discord or just on the Patreon itself, just incredible people, and we want to thank them so much and thank them for participating in the Beskies and voting for all of these categories and making their voice heard. And so hopefully for the next Beskies, you can make your voice heard too. If you disagreed with one of them, join the Patreon and you can vote on the next one.
Yeah, so thank you guys so much. Your listenership and everything really just blew us away. The support and the appreciation of the show and everything has just been just overwhelming and massive in a great way. So thank you all so much for just being the coolest, you know, fan community anybody could ask for.
Absolutely.
Cool.
The best.
Well, with that, I think it's going to conclude the Beskies. So until next year's awards, keep the watch.